Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone. It is it's great to be back in Tullahoma. It is great to be back among our family and our friends and in a place that's familiar. As you've already heard a few times, we've been on vacation, my family and I, and some of our dearest friends. That's not mine. Some of our dearest friends went down to Florida last week and hung out for a few days, and it was great just to get away and to relax and enjoy the sand and I got to do my very most favorite thing there is to do in the whole wide world, and that is to sit on the beach under a big tent and watch my kids play. And I just enjoy doing that more than anything. And it's and it turns out when you get to the beach, that's free. You can do that all day long, and they don't charge you any extra. Now, everything else you do there will cost you. But that's the one. Maybe that's why I love it so much, because it's the one thing that you can do that's all paid for by the time you get there. But it was a great time. It was, last year we went on vacation, and I had planted a garden, and we didn't have anything growing in this garden when we left on vacation. And when I came back, I had a little watermelon. And now it doesn't take long to look at me to realize I'm not much of a farmer. And for those of you who weren't here or might be visiting, I got real excited about this watermelon that had just grown while I was on vacation. And so I pick it, I thought, and we go and we enjoy it, and it was great, and I'm excited about... funny man. Well, this year, I didn't even plant a garden. And I come home and look what had miraculously grown out of a bush at my house. Later on, Now, it's the miraculous watermelon, and I do believe that you can see somewhere, if you'll go back to that one last picture, if you can see somewhere in the right, I think there's like an outline of the Virgin Mary on there somewhere, and this... And it has miraculous healing powers, I believe. So everyone's invited to our house after church, and we're going to all touch the miraculous watermelon, and maybe it will heal some of us. Maybe I'll just hit somebody with it, and it'll heal them. I don't know. But no, it scared me to death. I go in the backyard, and there's a giant watermelon that I didn't even plant growing out of a bush with a silk vine. Which leads me into exactly what I wanted to preach about this week. I had a sermon all prepared, somewhat prepared. It was going to be prepared by the end of the week. But as I was in Florida, and as I was sitting there with my friends and my family, and I was thinking about it, and actually Vicki and I were wondering what was just going to show up at our house while we were gone. We were talking about, I thought by the time I got back that they would have plowed an entire garden and just put completely mature plants in there with corn and squash and all kinds of stuff by the time we got back. But it was just one sad, lone watermelon. But as I sat there with my friends, and as I text messaged and talked to friends and back here, and I could not escape the reality and the blessing of having great friends. And so the title of the sermon this morning from the text messaging is Praise God for Our BFFs. And those of you with kids know that means our best friends forever. Remember writing notes, and you would tell each other, and mostly the girls would do this, and you're my best friend forever, or BFFs. And so now, in the text messaging, that's kind of the code for best friends. And as I sat there relaxing and being rejuvenated and just being recreated on this vacation, I couldn't help but think about what a blessing it is to have the kind of friends that God intends for us to have. Now, when we went down there, we got T-shirts made because that's just how nerdy I am. And so we all went down with matching T-shirts that had a big thing on the front. But on the back, we had this scripture that we share. Now, you guys are going to get real familiar with John Earnhardt over the rest of today. And some of y'all know him, but he's the big guy sitting third row, light shining off his dome. Came in a little bit late, but that's okay. But 7 years ago, I met a guy that just joined me at the heart. And I've told him many times, he's the best friend I've ever had. I mean, I've had friends in high school and friends in college, but nobody has gotten a grip on my heart like my friend John Earnhardt. And we share this passage right here. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 42. And it's the passage that we had printed on the back of our shirts. And it's a quote that Jonathan says to David when Jonathan and David are friends and Saul is seeking to kill David and things are just going bad. There's a passage that sums up the friendship. And Jonathan says to David, "Go in peace. For we have a sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between you and me and my between your descendants and my descendants forever." That's the kind of friendship that we should praise God for. That's the kind of friendship that we are created to have. And it's the kind of friendship that you can spend 7 days in a 2-bedroom condo with an entire other family and still come back and still be friends. But as we go to the next slide, you'll see that it's the kind of friendship that takes you all over the place. It's the kind of friendship. Now, you'll notice from the picture, I'm a little bit bigger than John. I mean, he's a little guy, and I sort of tower over him. Actually, he's about 5 inches taller than me, and I'm standing up on this sand shelf. If the truth be known, the relationship is a whole lot like that right there. Where I'm a whole lot braver when Big John is around. But you see, a friendship like that and a deep, meaningful, Christ-filled, God-inspired friendship is not just between two people. Families are involved. And families become close. And he talks about his descendants. And he talks about the fact that there is a witness between your descendants and my descendants. And that there is a covenant. And it's long-lasting. Oh, there's a covenant, all right. And it's a long-lasting one. That's Hyatt and Gracie, and we don't have their wedding and reception and everything else planned out, I promise you. Or maybe we do. But as we go through life, God has given us the opportunity to have friends. Friends that we would die for. But friends that we want more than anything to share this life with. And it's the kind of friendship that we read about in Scripture. It's the kind of friendship that God is to be praised for. And it's the kind of friendship that we are to pursue in this life because it makes life so much greater. And so this morning, as we talk about praising God for our best friends, I just want to point out one thing that we were made with friendships in mind. We were made by God. We were created with community, with fellowship, with relationship with not only God. He created us so that we could share in the love that He has with the Son and the Holy Spirit. But we were made with a friendship with God. That's absolutely true. But we were made with friendships with each other in mind as well. And it's friendships to be cherished and cultivated and friendships to be protected. The fact is that God is found. God is experienced more than anything else in this life in our friendships. You know, the Scripture that says, and I harp on this one, where He says, where two or more come together, where two or more are in agreement, when people are unified, when there is friendship, what does God say? There I am also. Now, we can take that verse and to make it a physical thing, and we pray this a lot, and we talk about this a lot, that when we gather together, there God is. You know this is a pet peeve verse of mine. God is found in our friendships, in our unity, in our agreement. God's found in our relationships. There's no denying the benefits of great friendships. There's no denying the benefits of walking hand in hand, side by side, heart in heart with another person, We've all experienced them. The Bible is replete with examples of the benefits of friendships like this. They give us strength to fight all of the fights. You don't have to go very far in this life to understand that it's difficult, isn't it? Life is so very hard. And that difficulty is compounded by our aloneness. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, there we read about where the wisdom is coming out, and he's saying that, you know what, when you're alone and you fall down, there's no one there to pick you up. When you're cold and you're alone, there's no one there to help you be warm. But he says, with a friend around, the reality of this life, the fact that the road is long and it's uphill a lot of the way and it's rocky and it's filled with wind and obstacles and all kinds of storms, in the reality of the life that we live, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. He says our friendships bring us strength. And when we praise God for those friendships, we need to praise Him for the strength that we have in the middle of the reality of life. We also find stamina. You know, they're in the difficulty of life, in the difficulty of pursuing God and being a Christian in a world that Jim was praying about, in a world that's more and more pagan and more lacking Christ. Paul, more than anything, says you need to stay with it. You need to stick with it. This is a tough thing. He says more than anything, he says to Timothy, fight the good fight. Twice he tells him that in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy. He encourages him to stay in the fight. And once in 2 Timothy, he says, now I have done that. And we need stamina to stay the course. And in Hebrews 10 and 25, he says, don't give up on meeting together. Don't give up on being friends and encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, it's about stamina and sticking with it. And also, we need not to forget that God is found in our friendships and just the pure enjoyment. I mean, is it so bad? I mean, is it so bad to think that this life is meant to be enjoyed? I mean, is that just, can we not think that for a minute? If we like something, if we enjoy our time, if we have a great time, is that a bad thing? So often we just get so caught up and it's so difficult, it's so hard. And yes, that's true, but God has given us each other so that we can enjoy this life. In Genesis chapter 2, he says that it's not good for us to be alone. And so he gives us relationships with each other. Not just for the bad times and the stamina, the strength and the difficulty. God, more than anything, wants us to enjoy this life. In the middle of the storms, in the middle of the difficulty. And isn't that the benefit of having great friends and relationships? Isn't a sunset so much more beautiful with someone you love looking at it? Isn't it more exciting when you're in the woods when you see a wild animal, you know, a deer? Don't you want to say, hey, look at that? If you're by yourself, well, it's neat, but life is so much better when it's lived together. Not only are there benefits, but more important than that, it's easy to understand the benefits of great friends. It's easy to understand what we get out of friendship, but what we're so unwilling sometimes, I feel, to recognize and to acknowledge is that there are definite barriers to these type of friendships. There's barriers to having that best friend bond, that heart-to-heart connection that makes life so much worth living. There's so many barriers, and if we don't recognize those and fight those and defeat those, then we will miss so much of what God has planned for us. The first thing I want you to write down, if you got your order of worship, I don't have the outline on the back, but if you'll turn on the back, there's a place for sermon notes. But the first barrier to true friendships, to the friendships that God intended, a barrier to a friendship like what David and Jonathan experienced, a friendship that transcends family, a friendship that transcends all of the difficulty, a friendship that transcends the fallenness of this world. The first thing that is a barrier to that is our pride. Pride is the one thing that is so difficult to overcome in having a relationship with someone. Because let's face it, it's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to be vulnerable to another person. And if we're going to be friends, if we're going to have someone welcome them into our heart and into our life, we're going to have to trust them and be vulnerable to that person. It's hard to be held accountable. And isn't that what real friends do? Isn't that what someone with your best interest at heart, isn't that what they're going to do? They're going to hold you accountable to the standard that God has set for us. You see, the wisdom of Proverbs tells us in 27 and verse 6 that the wounds of a friend, well, they can be trusted. You can trust the times when a friend tells you what you need to hear as opposed to what you want to hear. Some of the greatest friendships I've ever had in my life were solidified over a cup of coffee when a friend of mine says, "You know what, Shane? You know I love you, but I really want you to work on this right here." I mean, I didn't see that coming from anywhere. I mean, have you ever had someone challenge your parenting? How does that make you feel? Is that you feel good about it? You ever had someone challenge you in an area of sin where you really need to grow, where you really need to amend a behavior? Does your pride just really say, "Man, woohoo, thank you so much for that. I feel so great"? No. We fight that. But you see, we know that if we get close to people, we know that if we let them in, there are going to be things about us that they're going to hold us accountable, and our pride will keep us from having friends like that. We'll keep them at arm's length. Though we'll have acquaintances. We'll know people. We'll know their names and maybe some facts about them. But our pride will keep them at arm's length. And that kind of friendship doesn't transcend much at all. You see, second only to pride is something that robs us of so much, and that's fear. You see, our pride can stand in the way of a friendship, but fear is something that will keep us from walking into a relationship with someone. Because you see, the fact is that we can't control everything. Isn't that what we fear more than anything else, is the fact that of things being out of our control, being beyond the limits of what we can make happen. You see, whether it's your spouse or a close friend, you can't make people do what they don't want to do. You can't make people do everything that you can't make people like what you like. You can't make people hate what you hate. And so we fear if we let people into our life, we get that close to them that we give up control of what we want to do. And I know one thing that I fear is I can't control the responses that people are going to have to you. What if they don't like me? What if I let them in, but they don't respond to me the way that I want them to? And so we will sit back and maybe we'll allow all of these things to keep us from entering into this type of relationship, to having close, godly friends. Or maybe it'll cause us to try to be something we're not, in order to impress people, in order to maybe somehow manipulate the situation. We're afraid to be authentic. But this wears out so thin, doesn't it? This wears so thin, so fast, when we have to constantly be something that we're not, and we can't do that all the time, and sooner or later they find out, or the disguise wears out, and what we have isn't true friendship. You see, fear will rob us of every adventure that God has planned, whether it's in friendship or in the spiritual battle that is before us. There is adventure to be held in this life. God has planned for us an epic challenge. And if we are afraid to take Him up on that challenge, if we are afraid to join forces with other people, to let them into our life, to be vulnerable and allow them to help us and to change us and to grow, if we're afraid of that, we will miss out on the epic that is available to us, on the adventure that is our life. Fear will cost us everything God has planned. And lastly, in friendships,
a real barrier, the last real barrier to overcome is selfishness. You know, when you look at the true example, the best example that we have of friendship, you can't go very far before you're walking all over the example of Christ and his friendship with us. And it's only when we look at his example and we see that when he gives himself away, when he pours himself out, that he is rewarded with the glory of God. He's rewarded with everything that he came here to accomplish. And in our lives, when we give ourselves away, when we are completely unselfish in life and especially in friendship, but when we give ourselves away, we are repaid with more than we could ever be. We find more of the enjoyment and we experience more of the fullness of life than we ever thought was available or was there to begin with. And in John chapter 15, starting in verse 13, we read, "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." You know, there is no greater example of friendship, of relationship, than to freely and unselfishly pour ourselves out for one another. You see, Jesus shows us that there's something sweet about friendship. He goes on to say that, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You know what he's showing us? The sweetness of friendship is that it's chosen. You see, our family, you sort of have to love them. You know, it's kind of the rules. I mean, my kids give me that all the time. You're supposed to. You're supposed to think I'm the greatest of it. Well, but they recognize in the choosing, in the friendship that we have. But that's the sweetness that Jesus is explaining to us when he says, "I call you friend." Because you see, I'm not bound by any duty. You're not bound by any contract. You're not a servant. You're not a bond slave. You're not someone who is commanded, but you're a friend. And I choose you, and you choose me back, and there's something infinitely sweet about that. And it's the kind of relationship that God longs to have with us. It's the kind of relationship that He so unselfishly displayed before us. It's the kind of relationship that we have the opportunity to choose with each other and to lay aside our pride and to get over our fear and to deny ourselves and to experience the kind of relationship that Christ died for. And it's a choice. You know, the thing, and this is, the last time I'll force you to look at vacation pictures, but you know what I love is that watching my kids model relationships that they have seen. Now see, this is a picture of Hayden flipping Hillary over his back on the beach, and Lily's spotting him, I think. But they're having a great time. And nobody's forcing them to hang out together. Nobody's telling, you know, is that when they see relationships that are mutually beneficial, that are selfless, they start to model that. They start to have fun and experience life and choose to be together and choose to enjoy together the life that God has called us to live. This morning, my challenge to you, who are you friends with? Who's your best friend? I mean, it might be a spouse or a coworker. It might even be a child. But if you've got an order of worship, I want to do a very quick exercise with you. If you've got your order of worship, turn it to the back on the sermon notes, and I want you to take a minute and find a pen or a pencil or a crayon or a marker or something. Or if you don't have anything to write with, just think about it. But think about and write down the name of one person that
you know you have let inside, that you know that there is a friendship between you that transcends this life, that goes beyond you and affects generation after generation. Just write that name. Maybe you're blessed to have two or three. But write those down. We're going to take a moment and we're going to pray. We're going to spend about 30 seconds in silence. Maybe 45, depends on if I can see my watch or not. And I want you to pray a prayer to God. First of all, a prayer of thanksgiving that He has brought this person into your life. And I also want you to pray asking God for His continued blessings for them. And finally, spend some time just praising God for friends. Would you bow with me? Father, we come before You this morning, and we thank You, first of all, for the fact that You call us Your friends. That we are not servants, we are not slaves, but we are friends. And all that You have has been made available to us. And God, for the friendships that You have given us, that You have nurtured and strengthened, the friendships that give us strength and stamina and enjoyment in this life, God, we thank You. For the names that have been written down, for the names that have been spoken in the minds and the hearts of Your people here today, God, I thank You. I ask for Your continued blessings, and we praise You for the friends that You have given us to make this life what it is. Most of all, God, we thank You so much for Your love for us that never lets us go, but continually pursues us. In Christ's holy and precious name I pray, amen. As we close this morning, I just want to encourage you in the friendship that is to be cultivated above every friendship available, and that is with Christ. There are some here this morning that undoubtedly don't experience that kind of friendship. That can't be that what Christ is saying to His apostles, and Christ is saying to Christians throughout all generations when He's saying, I call you friends. There are some here today that maybe that doesn't apply to, that you haven't said, you know what, I want to put you on in baptism. I want to confess Your name. I want to be Your child. I want to be Your friend. The friendship that Christ offers is not available to some. It's available to all. And it only takes accepting that friendship, releasing the pride and the fear and the selfishness that keeps you from eternal salvation. Would you do that this morning if that's your need, as together we stand and as we sing?